got it. Some of you got it. I said, God is good all the time. Amen. Did you look over at somebody and tell them welcome and love you and nothing you can do about it? And glad you're here, Church on the North Coast. And it's a great day to be alive, being here with Jesus. Amen. I don't know if you heard it on the news this morning, but there is a certain Muslim group that is calling for 1 million Muslims to march on the mall on Washington, D.C. And, you know, I understand that they are looking for their place in America and all of that, but they've called for this march to occur in September. As a matter of fact, I think it's the 11th day of September, 2013. And I don't know about you, but 9/11 has some significance to me in regards to what happened to our nation. And all the people lost their lives. And, you know, I'm not blaming or putting it on anybody, but I do know that it seems to be much inappropriate to schedule it on that day. You know what I'm talking about? But I guess what I'm trying to say is that there is so much what you hear today about radical Islam. And people say, well, that's just radical Islam because they're the extremists. And I don't know, but I'm getting a little bit jealous. I'm thinking, you know what? They ought to start talking about Christians like that. We ought to start raising up an element of people of faith that everybody, they didn't know what to say. They don't know what to say about us. They can't even call us Christians anymore. They just call us radical faith people. Because we are so extreme in the Word of God that we can't be contained. We can't be defined. We can't be defeated. I mean, there's nothing that will daunt us. We are just totally undaunted. We walk in victory. We expect the best. We believe God's word to come to pass. And when we get knocked down, we get right back up again. And we just keep on going. Amen. So I'm looking for some radical faith here this morning. And I hope I've come to the right church because I want to hang out with some radical faith people today. There was a guy that was watching this old preacher preach. I don't know how old he was, and I don't know what he looked like, but maybe I would fit the bill. And this young man couldn't believe the zeal and the passion of this pastor. And afterwards he said, sir, I've just got to ask you, I don't understand. He said, how is it after all these years you've got so much passion and zeal for God? The old preacher looked at him and he said, well, my dog jumped up and took after that big rabbit. He chased the rabbit over the hills and had such passion in his pursuit. The young man looked at him like, I didn't ask you about no rabbit. I asked you about why you got zeal and passion for God. He goes on, he said, soon other dogs were joining my dog. They were attracted by the barking. What a sight it was. All this pack of dogs, they're running across creeks, they're going up hills and embankments and through thickets and thorns and through trees and bushes. And amazing how these dogs were relentless in their pursuit. But however, gradually, one by one, the other dogs dropped out of the pursuit. They were discouraged by the course. They were frustrated by the chase. And only my dog continued to hotly pursue that white rabbit. In that story, young man, lies the answer to your question. The young man looked at him more confused now than he was before the man started telling him the story. He said, finally, he said, sir, I don't understand. What's the connection between the rabbit and your quest and passion and zeal for God? The old preacher said, you fail to understand. He said, you didn't ask the right question. Why didn't the other dogs continue the chase? That there is the question. And he looked at the young man and he said, because they never saw the rabbit. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe there are a host of people assembling in what we call Christendom today across America and the world who have heard a bark and have joined the chase, but have never seen the rabbit. We've got countless numbers of people dropping off because the course had become difficult. The chase had become long. It had become arduous. And one by one, we drop off. like packs, we assemble every Sunday morning. Cathedrals, church buildings, traditional, more progressive, it doesn't matter. We identify it as modern worship or traditional. The fact is that the majority of people that are gathering together in what we call Christendom are not radical at all. As a matter of fact, they are politically correct. They have learned how not to anger anyone or make anybody feel uncomfortable or even get in a position in their life where they would stand out in the midst of unbelievers or make their community take notice. The story of the old preacher's passion and the old preacher's zeal for God is what I believe is found in the book of John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Turn there with me, please, just for a moment. I want you to see this in the scripture. The Bible says that in the beginning was the Word. Amen? And the Word was first and present with God. Reading out of the Message Bible. God present to the Word. The Word was God and in readiness for God from day one. Everything was created through Him. Nothing, not one thing came into being without Him. What came into existence was life. And the life was light to live by. The life light blazed out of the darkness. The darkness could not put it out. Then I want you to go with me to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. It explains the chase of the rabbit. John the apostle says this, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard. That was from the beginning, which we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. Ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you today, you and I have got to handle Him. We've got to see Him. We've got to feel Him. We've got to know Him. Because in the pursuit and the chase of God ourselves, we one by one will begin to drop out because the trail becomes a difficult one. And many, many have fallen aside. Many, many have fallen away. Why? Because they've given up on church. They've given up on choir. They've given up on religion. They've given up on tradition. And here's the reason, the bottom line. They never saw the rabbit. Today when we were in worship, there was one thing I wanted to do. I love the note changes and the key changes. I love the harmonies. I love the songs. But friends, let me tell you something. I didn't come here to watch somebody perform. As much as I love what Drew did and I can get into it and I can sway and I can act like I know what I'm doing when he's doing it. I'm telling you something. I didn't come to hear him. I didn't even come to see you. Come on, somebody. I mean, I'm glad to see you, but that's not why I'm here. I came to see Jesus. I came to come face to face with the Son of the living God, the bright and morning star. Amen? You see, you and I have got to get in hot pursuit of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. For when you and I become in hot pursuit of Him, it matters not what happens in the chase. We will never be defeated and we will not quit. The other day, Tina and I were out about in the marketplace and I was listening to people speak with accents. Now, growing up in an Eastern European home, my father only had a third grade education and he spoke broken English. I'm pretty good at discerning broken English. I just could understand it. It doesn't matter if it's Puerto Rican descent or Hungarian descent. It doesn't matter. I can pick it up because I was so used to being around it. So I was trying to tune in to what these people were saying. I could pick up parts of it, and I wanted to identify their origin. I wanted to identify their origin. Everybody say origin. Origin is important because if you and I are going to become radical, we have to return to the foundation and to the origin. That's really what it means. To become radical in our faith is to return to the origin of our faith, the foundation of our faith, because you and I are the ones that are going to be the witness in this generation. And so I'm listening and I'm trying to tune in to where they're from because what they say, how they say it, identifies where their origin is. We're at Huntington Beach where you're going to be tonight for the water baptism. You say, well, I'm not getting water baptized. That's not even the issue. The issue is that you would rejoice with those who are rejoicing, that you would renew with those who were renewing, that you would encourage those who were dipping, those that are pursuing, that those that are crying out. You see, I'm just another barking dog, and as long as you're in the chase, I'm in the hunt. And I know that tonight it's going to be awesome. And that's where we were. We were at Huntington Beach. We went to the counter to buy a cup of coffee. And this family came, a mom and a dad and a young teenage girl. And they were trying to order their food. They had ice cream and coffee, but they couldn't speak English real well. And so I was listening to the origin of their tongue. And if I had to guess, I would have guessed that they were from Croatia. Somewhere near the Eastern European bloc nations, because I'm familiar with those kind of accents. Can I tell you today that all of heaven, all of earth, all of creation, everything, even mountains, rivers, and even fig trees, are trying to tune in to the words that will disclose your origin. See, when I speak the word of God in any situation, I am disclosing to that thing my origin. And because now you know I come not from this world, but I come from the kingdom of God. I walk in the authority of His power. That's why I can say, "Be thou removed and cast into the sea." Because I don't speak out of my own account. I have learned how to talk right. I have learned a new language. Come on, church. Look, if you're going to serve God, you're going to have to learn how to speak the language. Amen? So I want to talk with you this morning or this afternoon just for a few minutes about this renewal, this need for renewal, this need for us to become radical in our faith. I believe today in Matthew 12 and verse 37, these words are so true. The Bible simply says this, by the words you say, you will either be acquitted or you will be condemned. The words that we speak are so vital. And you say, "Well, Pastor, I've heard you preach on this before. I know all this. I mean, come on, you know, I've heard about, you know, the words of your mouth and all that." Yeah, you may have, but you know, the other day I was out in the foyer somewhere. I won't tell you what foyer, but I was out in the foyer and I was listening to people who had been in our church and they were talking, and I wanted to interrupt them and go, "Excuse me, what church you go to?" Because the way they were talking was not the way that we are preaching. The way they were talking is not the way the word speaks about that situation. And I wondered, where happened to the disconnect? Everybody say disconnect. Disconnect. See, this is a key in your victory, is whether or not you stay connected. Amen. Stay connected. See, the words, the right words that you speak are like strong arms reaching across the void that draws us to the Father and reveals to us the Father's love. The other day, I was listening to a gentleman who is just coming to God, and he asked this question. He goes, "I don't quite understand it. How is it that in the book of John, the Bible says that Jesus, whom that loved the disciple John more than all? How does God love one more than he loves the other?" He said, "The Bible says that Jesus loved John more than all the disciples." And I was trying to explain to him about John's passion and zeal for Jesus and how Jesus responded. And then it dawned on me. See, words are so powerful. Words are those connectors that will connect you to the loving arms of God, your Father in heaven. And you know, when I began to ponder it, I thought, well, wait a minute, who wrote the book? John wrote the book. John said, "I am God's favorite." How many know today that I am God's favorite? Come on, look at somebody and say, "I'm sorry, but I'm God's favorite." Of course he was going to write, "I, John, the beloved, the one that Christ loved more than everybody." Because he had an image of who he was and the love of God in his life. See, if you can get that in your heart, it matters not how high the mountain, how low the valley. It matters not what difficulty comes your way, because you know God loves me too much to leave me here. God loves me too much not to minister to me and meet all of my needs. God loves me. He's going to rescue me because God's love for me is so great. Amen? God's love is so great. So it reaches, the words of God reaches and draws us to the love of the Father. The words of God are like rivers that flow from fertile valleys and fertile places to nourish and to revive. You know, if you continue to speak and allow the words of God to go forth, it matters not how parched and how barren. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would run the road in Israel that borders Jordan and see the fertile valley of Israel that was prophesied in Isaiah, that it would bloom again, the desert would bloom again. It is God's holy word that He took a desert and caused it to bloom. But let me tell you, you go across the fence line into the Jordan, into the state of Jordan, and you look across and here are all these beautiful flowers growing on Israel's side, all these beautiful vegetables, everything is green. You get to the fence line, it gets brown. You go to the other side and it's a desert. I could throw a rock from the fertile flower fields of Israel into the barren desert of Jordan. And I think, God, what is it? Do you love them more than you love them? No, He doesn't love any of us any less. He loves all of us the same. But His word are like streams that will bring nourishment and life to any parched area, any desert, any dry place in our life. You and I have got to learn to fill our hearts with the Word of God. Amen? The Bible said, out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? The mouth speaks. You see, the heart is that well, or is that source, that river, if you will. And the words are the streams, the irrigation channels that bring that living water into our situations and into our circumstances. Go to Romans chapter 10, verses 8 to 10. The Bible says, but what does it say? The word is near you and in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Now watch this. Verse 10 is powerful. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Isn't that powerful? That what you say is tied to whether you're going to be saved or not? Come on now. It is so powerful that you and I would declare Jesus as the Lord over our lives. Because it is God's salvation. God said, look, it's wonderful that you believe, but it's not enough. There's one more thing. Everybody put your finger up and say, one more thing. One more thing. Now, some of you haven't done that because you're just tired, or maybe you're obstinate, or maybe you just don't want to do what the preacher tells you to do, and that's all right, but don't make me come back there. I want everybody to put your finger up in the air and say, one more thing. One more thing. Here's what Jesus said. Say it with me. Verbalize. Articulate. And say it out loud. One more time, verbalize, articulate, and say it out loud. Jesus said, I'm glad that you believe, but I want you to verbalize. I want you to articulate, and I want you to say it out loud. See, I've got to get up every morning, and I've got to verbalize. I've got to articulate, and I've got to say out loud what I believe God is wanting in my life and what He has promised for me in my life. Let me say this again. Some of you heard me say this. Your mouth was not created for grumbling and complaining, but your mouth was created for ruling and reigning. You ought to write that down. My mouth is not a tool for grumbling and complaining. My mouth is a tool for ruling and for reigning. Now, I want you to look at Mark 11, 22 and 23. Now, contrary to popular opinion, Kenneth Hagin did not write that verse. Some of you think Kenneth Hagin wrote that verse. You know, the verse that says, Mark 11, 11, 22 and 23, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For surely I say to whatever says this mountain be removed and cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Kenneth Hagin didn't write that. Kenneth Copeland didn't write that. Creflo Dollar didn't write that. Jesus said that. You got that? Jesus said that. So what did Jesus say? He said to us that you can say to the mountain, be thou removed, cast into the sea, doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I know this is radical, and let me tell you something. If you decide to go radical today, let me just give you forewarning. People in your life will not agree with you. People around you will think you have lost your mind. Some people even say you went up to that church and got brainwashed. And you should tell them, absolutely, my mind was filthy and polluted. And it needed a washing. Come on now. It needed to be cleansed by the word of the living God. Amen? Needed to be cleansed by the word of the living God. Now, every morning and every day, I get up and I say some crazy things in my life. I say things like, Lord, I thank you that angels camp around those who love you. I thank you that angels all around me right now. Father, they're moving when I'm moving. I know I give them a workout every day. I thank you, Lord, that when I get in my car, that angels go before me. There'll be no accidents, incidents, or mishaps in any way. I'll arrive at my destination on time and unhurt and unhindered. I'm going to enjoy my day, and this is the day the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, I thank you there's no premature deaths among us, that we're going to live out our days according to your plan and purpose on the earth. I thank you, Lord, that my body is strong. I thank you that I'm healthy. I thank you that my blood is cleansed and pure. I thank you every cell in my body is divinely designed. I thank you that it's contributing to my overall health. I thank you, God, that I'm above and not beneath. I thank you that I'm blessed in the city and in the field. You say, well, why do you say all that? Because Jesus said, whatsoever you say, not doubting and believing in your heart, you're going to have what you say. Now, I would rather have a safe arrival rather than a injurious revival or some kind of a accident in my arrival. I thank God every day that I say, Lord, in my congregation, I thank you there's no premature deaths among us. Even though Sister Ruth passed away on Friday night, Sister Ruth had lived a full life and went through the portal of death into heaven. And I saw her Thursday. She was in hospice and she was unconscious. We thought Tina leaned over and started speaking the word to her, and she looked up and she said, couldn't articulate, but she was responding inside. And then finally I walked over to her. I said, Ruth, because she loves to sing. She was a charter member of your church. She loved to sing. I said, hey, Ruth, you want to sing? I said, amen. Amen. And when I got to the third, amen, she said, amen, amen. So we sang a little bit, and I tried to move on and say, well, we're going to go now. And there was another family member there. But Sister Ruth wouldn't have anything to do with it. She's like, amen, amen. I said, well, Sister Ruth, we moved on. We're not singing anymore. She goes, amen. Her grandson, Robert, that was there, he took out his camera and he started videotaping it, tears streaming down his face. He had been away from God. Holy Ghost fell in that room. Listen, I know there's not going to be any premature deaths among us. I speak life over you every day that I'm alive, because I believe that God wants to restore speech. God wants to heal cancer. God wants to deliver us from oppression. God wants to give us a better job, give us increase. God wants to give us peace of mind. If you need a spouse, God will give one of those to you as well. Tell the Lord what you want. That'd be an old song we used to sing. If you need a healing, tell him what you want. You all know that song. Jesus on the main line now. Come on now. Some of you are on the wrong phone line with the wrong person on the other side. They're talking to you going, you know, we're only human and you can't expect much. I mean, that's the way life is. Wrong number. You got to get off that phone, disconnect that line, and get on the main line with Jesus and tell him what you want according to his word and let God bring it to pass. Come on, if you're going to praise him, let's do it good. Come on, if you're going to praise him, poof, let's do it big. Hallelujah. So I put together a couple because I want you to practice. So here we go. Here's the first one, because 2 Corinthians chapter 4, put that verse up first. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. I want you to read the scripture with me. As soon as it gets up on the screen, we're going to declare it. Are you ready? Come on. And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore we speak. We're going to say it again because I want to get this into your spirit. I want you to become radical. Some of you are being transformed. You're going to be doing some radical things in your faith that you have never done before, because the Word in you is going to make you into something that has always been in you, but it's never come forth through you. But it's about to, because you are lining yourself up with the eternal Word of God. Let's say it one more time. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we speak. Now let me put up the first confession, and I want you to know about this. If you put it up on the screen, I want you to get this in your heart, because there are times in our life when fear will come, or doubt will come, or we'll begin feeling as though that the enemy has more power over us than the power that's available to us. Have you ever felt that? Like the enemy's so powerful. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get our thinking correctly. We have all authority. We have all authority. Someone explained it this way. That big Saint Bernard can sit down on top of you and overpower you, but it doesn't matter if he's got more power than you. You've got authority, and you say, "Dog, get off me." And that big old monster of a dog is going to get up and wag its tail and go sit in the corner. Not because you had more power, but you had more authority. Look at somebody and say, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Come on. Tell them that you've got great authority in the kingdom. So here we go. Let's say it together. Ready? Now don't mealy mouth with it. We got to declare this like we believe it. Come on, ready? Because Jesus has given me authority to overcome all the power of the enemy, I refuse to speak words of fear. Now some of you just recited that. A couple of you got it. Some of you are about to get it. So we're going to do it one more time. Are you ready? Come on. Because Jesus has given me authority to overcome all the power of the enemy, I refuse to speak words of fear. Luke 10:19, the Bible said Jesus has given us all authority. All authority. So if the devil is leaning on you with all of his weight, tell him to get off. Take the authority that you have that has been given by Jesus. Secondly, you and I need to realize that if when we go to the doctor's office or the lawyer's office, or we go to mama's and them's house after dinner, for dinner, or we go over to our neighbor and we start hearing things, or we start believing things, we need to start getting in our spirit the fact that Jesus Christ has given us authority over every form of sickness, infirmity, come on, and every malady. And because he took it up for us. So put that up there. You got to go to the next one. I want you to say this with me. Now, I had a young man come to me a couple weeks ago. And he said, "Pastor, I just want you to know I've got colon cancer." And I said, "Well, I don't agree with that. I don't agree that you got colon cancer." He said, "Well, no, the doctor said I got colon cancer." And I said, "Well, okay. I mean, the doctor said that." I said, "But I wouldn't agree with him too quickly. Because if you agree with him and not the Word of God," I'm not saying don't deny it. If you that's the diagnosis, be smart about it. But the facts are, I need to line myself up with the Word of God. And so I'm going to refuse to speak anything else. So say it with me, come on, with authority. Sickness, infirmity, you must go. Because Jesus took up all infirmity and carried all disease. Now, I know some people are going to say, "Pastor, I object to that. That's cruel. People have had diseases and they've died. What about that? What about them?" I said, "Look, I don't know about them and I don't know about that. All I know, I'm going to become radical as a faith man. All I know is that if the doctor said this, I'm going to say that." Come on. If my body starts saying this, I'm going to say that. Because there's times in the morning when I'm getting up and my get up won't get up. And I have to tell my get up to start going because it's starting to creak and crack and my leg's hurting. And I don't know where that happened. I went to bed, my leg wasn't hurting. I got up this morning, my leg's hurting. I'm thinking, well, I'm not going to start walking around telling everybody, "Hey, my leg's hurting. And I don't know what I did, but I must have pulled something. I must have slept wrong." No, here's what I'm going to say. Sickness and infirmity, you must go. Because Jesus took up all infirmity and carried all diseases. You say, "Man, that's radical." Exactly. Number three, I talked to you a little bit about premature death. Watch this. I have to say this over my life every day, and some of you need to do the same thing because you have a fear of dying early. I remember a guy that I used to talk to. He's not around much anymore, but I used to talk to, and he always would tell me that his father died when he was 58. So my dad died at 58, and he's like 57. He said, well, I hope I can make it past what my dad did. And then he would say, well, my uncle died. He was 59. So he's living in this constant fear and under this shadow of the fact that he too would have a premature death. You know, a lot of times doctors will ask you about your history. They'll say, so is there cancer in your family? Do you have diabetes in your family? Do you have, this is in the gene pool in your family. So we just want to check to make sure what was in their genes is not in your genes. I said, well, I'm not going to deny it was in their genes, but when I came to Jesus, I got a pair of new genes. So this is what I try to declare. Come on, say it with me. I will not fear an untimely death because God's word says, I will not die and declare the works of the Lord. That's what God said. I didn't write the Bible. Don't get mad at me. You know, I have a lot of people, when I preach messages like this, they say, well, that church is just hyper faith. They're radical. They're extreme. Thank you. Because if we had more extreme radical faith on the earth, we'd see signs and wonders happening, popping up like popcorn on every corner, because we believe that God's authority is greater. Amen? Amen. All right, can you handle one more? Sometimes when you have poverty issues in your life, you know, broke issues. Has anybody ever in here ever been broke? I've been broke. I mean broke where I had no money. I had negative money. I owed more money than I could ever pay. Broke. And then there have been times in my life when I had money. And I made a decision. I had this revelation. Having money is better than having no money. How many believe me? You say, well, now to be spiritual, brother, you need to walk in humbleness and poverty. No. That's not what the Bible says. I just need you to understand something. I may have come here on a bus, and I may go home on a bus. I may have rode my bicycle to get here. I might have even walked all the way down Granger Boulevard to Canal to get here. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to be riding the bus all my life. I'm not going to be looking for them government checks all my life. I'm not going to be working at this dump restaurant all my life. I'm not going to be looking for handouts all my life, because I understand something about the covenant of God. So every day when I get up and I get on my bicycle to get to work, I have to declare, come on, say it with me, I refuse to struggle in poverty all my life, because God will meet all my needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Oh, Pastor, you know, you're just weirding out on me. I can't believe that you'd actually talk like that in church. And, you know, that's the problem with the church. It's just all this hyper faith and this radical faith. And, you know, why can't we just be like everybody else? Why can't we just have a church like everybody else? Why can't we just say it's God's will? Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just going to introduce you to something that makes the difference. This is the key, John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. This is the key. This is the thing that'll turn your life around. Okay, you ready? Are you listening? Are you locked in? I don't want you to drift. Don't think about the stew or the roast or the Burger King after church. Just kind of focus in. Jesus said to those who believed him, he said, If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Then he said in verse 32, which is a powerful point, and I want you to see this. He says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, the word abide means stay just a little bit longer. Why don't you stay a little bit longer? The word abide means to stay. The word abide means to continue. Here's a definition of continue. You want to write this down. You want to get it in your spirit. You want to put it to the beat. You want to understand how important it is in your life. To continue means to maintain without an interruption, a condition, a course, or an action. The problem is we start out well, but we get interrupted. We get interrupted in our faith because the evidence that appears to be real, the false evidence, fear, F-E-A-I, F-E-A-R, that appears real. Don't laugh at me now. It's false evidence that appears real, becomes so big we discontinue our faith. We discontinue abiding in the Word of God. See, we've got to continue in the Word of God. And you and I need to make a covenant today on this day of renewal, not only to be water baptized, but to recommit to continuing in the Word of God. And that we will not discontinue. We will not disconnect from the Word of God from this day forward. Go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, or is it 2 Peter? Let me see. Let me look at my notes. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Now, Peter is talking about the divine nature of God, becoming partakers of the divine nature of God. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I can become partakers of the divine nature of God. That's what the Bible says. So we're looking at it. And he says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Is there a verse before that? Verse 2, I believe, isn't there? Did you not get that one? Oh, no, okay. Grace and peace. No, verse 3. You're right. Let's go to verse 3. It's amazing. I can think faster than computers can. Isn't that great? As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Now look at verse 4. This is real, really cool. By which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. How many have a Bible, iPad, iPhone, whatever, with the Bible on it here this morning? Let me see it. Kind of hold it up. This is my Bible, all right? You know, Joel, this is my Bible. It is, I am what it says I am, right? Okay, the Word of God. Now watch. These are God's what? Exceedingly great and precious promises. These promises have been given to us. Say that with me. These promises have been given to us. Okay, say this. These promises are mine. Why is that important to know? Because that's what the Word said. The Word said he's given us his promises, exceedingly great and precious promises. Now watch that through these, through what? These promises, you may be what? Partakers of the divine nature. Notice the two little words that are key. Maybe. Say maybe. Maybe is not definitive. It's not already been established. It may be. In other words, if you receive these precious promises that have been given to you, you may be partakers of the divine nature. Not that you will be, but that you may be. And you know what that tells me? For example, hey, you coming to the baptism tonight? Maybe. To say maybe to me means it's to be decided. Correct? So Peter's saying, you and I have been given this word, and through this word, we can become partakers of the divine nature. Maybe. It has to be decided. Who makes the decision? You and I make the decision. So you and I make the decision as to whether or not we're divine partakers or partakers of the divine nature. So it's maybe. So I understand that I have contribution to this equation. I have to make a decision in order to become a partaker of the divine nature. I've got to continue in the Word of God. I've got to speak the Word of God. I've got to begin to declare the Word of God. I become I go back to my origin. That's how you fix that. Do you know how to? That's how you fix those things. You just beat them. You go back to the origin and the foundation of the Word of God. So we see then Peter's telling us that there it is all to be determined. It is all to be decided. Now, I want to show you something in Matthew 8, verse 8 in the King James Bible. I love this scripture because the centurion comes to Jesus and he says to him, I'm not worthy that you come under my roof, But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. It's a great story, and I don't have a lot of time to preach on it, but I just want to point out a couple of things about it. The centurion said, look, I don't need you to lay hands on me. I don't need you to sing just as I am. I don't need the elders to come. I don't need no oil slapped on me. All I need you to do is speak the word only. So he was a purist. He said, speak the word only. And we found out that when he spoke the word, at the very time that Jesus spoke it, the centurion found out later that the servant was healed. So the word of God, according to Psalm 117 and verse 20, is sent to heal. So the word of God goes through hospital walls. The word of God goes through, you know, nations or barriers, be it a bamboo curtain or a steel curtain, iron curtain. It doesn't matter what it is. The word of God penetrates. And so we see the power in it. But here's the thing I want you to see. In verse 10 of this scripture, Jesus makes this statement. He goes, in all of Israel, he said, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Now, let me illustrate this for a minute. Peter, would you do me a favor? Good to see you in church here today, buddy. You're a good golfer. He's a good golfer. Here, hold on to my glasses. Now, don't put fingerprints on them. Just hold on to them. And so Jesus said, I have not found such great faith in all of Israel. So I come into church. I'm going, shoot, man. Pastor Troy, see my glasses? You haven't seen them? You got them? Brother Al, you see my glasses? I'm finding them. I'm looking all over the place. Pastor Tossie, you got them? You see my glasses anywhere? No. Tina, you have my glasses in your purse? Mark, did you take my glasses? Anybody know where my glasses are? All right, let me go look. I'm going to go look back in the office. No, I'm going to go in the car. I'm going to retrace my steps. Doggone it, I can't find my glasses. And then I look around and I go, Peter, you've got my glasses. Give me my glasses. I found them. Let me tell you something. You don't find a thing unless you're looking for a thing. And Jesus was walking the earth going, who's got my glasses? Where's faith? I'm looking for faith. I can't find me no faith. I'm looking for faith. Oh, there's some faith up in your pocket. Oh, there's some faith right there. Jesus said this, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? When Jesus comes back, he's not coming back for a gospel choir. He's coming back for people that walk by faith. Hallelujah. That speak by faith. He's looking for faith. So awesome. So powerful. Got time for one more scripture? I know it's 1:45, man. It's getting late. All right. Here we go. This is powerful. You're going to have to give me time to get it. God, I've got 10 more minutes. Can you give me 10 more minutes? Put me on the clock. I'm not going to charge you extra for 10 minutes. I'm just going to give it out. Are you ready? Go to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. What does the Bible say in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12? For the word of God is living, powerful, what else? Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to write something down. If you don't normally take notes of this, because you will not remember. The devil will try to steal this out of your mind, and this is so valuable and important for you to fulfill your destiny, fulfill your purpose on the earth. This is absolutely bottom line important. The Bible says that the word of God is living, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. And it said, and not only is it sharper than two-edged sword, not only is it powerful and living, but it is a discerner. Everybody say discerner. So the word of God is a discerner. Say it again. Discerner. What is the word of God? Discerner. What else does the word of God do? He tells us that he's a discerner, but he's a discerner of two things. Of thoughts and... Okay, so the word of God is what? It's a discerner. Word of God is what? Of what? Those three words. He's a discerner of thoughts and intents. You've got to get this in your heart, okay? This is so important. Let me give you the Greek word for discerner. My friend Tom is sitting in the back. Don't laugh at me, Tom, when I pronounce this word. Put it up on the screen, please. The word discerner. It is kritikos. Kritikos. Am I saying it right? Yay! Kritikos. It means this, skilled in judging. Everybody say skilled in judging. Not judging negative. In other words, being able to judge right, wrong, good, bad. The Word of God is skilled in judging. So we see not only is it powerful in living. Are you with me? Don't drift, please. Stay with me because this is so vital. If I could, I'd get into your heart and take my knife and like scar it on the inside wall so you'd get this. Discerner. The Word of God is a discerner. It is kritikos. It means this. It's skilled in judging. So now we know that the Word of God has been established as a skilled agent in judging. Judging what? What is it skilled in judging? Thoughts and intents. Let's go to the word thoughts. Let's go to the word thoughts, please. The word thoughts in the Greek is enthumesis. Enthumesis. The word thoughts is enthumesis. It means one who judges or evaluates refers to a fault finder. In other words, the Word of God is skilled in judging any thought that may be at fault. The Word of God is skilled at judging or evaluating, you following me, any thought that may be at fault, that may be in error or out of line with the Word of God. So the Word of God is skilled at identifying stinking thinking. You follow me? The Word of God. It doesn't say that in the Greek, but that's what it means. It means judges, evaluates, refers to fault finder. Now look at the third word, intense. So the Word of God is a discerner, skilled, judgingly skilled to do what? To find any fault in our thought patterns and to emoia. Emoia? How do you say it, Tom? Emoia? Emoia! Intense or emoia. And emoia means thinking or something a person has under consideration. So the Word of God is skilled. It's able to judge a thought that could be faulty, that doesn't line up with the Word, that you have under consideration that's going to make you choose bad. Do you follow that? Now, this is vitally important to get as a Christian. If you're going to be radical, you're going to go back to your origin, you're going to become foundational, you're going to be a faith woman, a faith man, you've got to get this understanding in your spirit. Because the people you hang out with will take the place of the Word of God to judge skillfully whether or not you're thinking right or wrong. In other words, they'll say, well, we're only human. Now, if you're at work and you're looking at the little hussy across the hall and she's flaunting it and she's flirting it and you and your wife haven't been getting along very well and you got some thinking going on in your mind like, I think I'd go over there and talk to that girl. I know what she needs. I'm going to go over there and talk to her. Well, that thought that you're considering can be judged skillfully by the Word of God. But if you don't consult the Word of God, you're going to find somebody just like you to say, you go ahead, man, you deserve that. I've been at your house. Your woman is crazy. No reflection on Pat. You know what I mean? You'll find somebody to encourage you to be stupid. How many know there are people in your life that will encourage you to be stupid? Come on. You know what I'm talking about? Look over at somebody and say, I know he's right. I know he's right. So in that moment, when I'm thinking a thought and it's under consideration, I got to go to the Word of God. When I go to the Word of God, it tells me what I should do with that thought. Because that thought has been skillfully judged and found faulty. It's in want. It is inaccurate. It's not true. Therefore, now I have to readjust my thinking. And when I do that, I find myself repenting. You know, in the Valley of Elah, it's a crazy thing. I've often wondered why David went to battle like a giant without armor. Saul tried to put his armor on. He goes, I can't battle with this. He said, take my sword. I don't need a sword. Got me a sling. Did you ever wonder why David didn't take a sword to battle? He didn't need a sword in his hand. He didn't need a sword in his hand. Come on, pull. Act like you're holding on to a sword. That's important for me. See, too many of us as Christians are reaching for the physical sword. Drop it. David said, I don't need a sword in my hand. I got one in my mouth. The sword in my mouth is more powerful than any sword in my hand could ever be. And when I get there and defeat him with the sword in my mouth, I'll prove it by picking up his sword and finishing the job, and I'll take off his head. But I know this, that the power of God is near thee and even in thy mouth. Church, can I ask you a question? Would you please consider, when you leave this church service today, to begin to line up your thinking with the Word of God and begin to speak only what the Word of God says. Like the centurion said, speak only the Word of God. Now, let me just warn you. You'll be considered radical. So before I speak, I've got to think. Before I speak, I need to allow the Word time to judge. I get a thought in my mind. Those people don't like me. I know they don't like me. Look what they just did. I walked in the room. They all stopped laughing. They're probably laughing at me. And you make a decision on that faulty thought to leave the party. But you do that all the time because you have faulty thinking. But that's not what the Bible says. If you were to take that thought, these people are laughing at me. These people don't want me here. These people don't like me. You would take that thought and let the Word judge it, and the Word say what He says about you, that you were fearfully and wonderfully made, that you're the apple of His eye, that God loves you, that He sent His only begotten Son to die for you, that like John, you are the disciple that Jesus loved above all. Suddenly you walk in, you go, hey, what's up, everybody? I'm glad to be here. Man, this is great. Everybody doing okay? Isn't this a great party? Wow, I love being here. Why? Because the Word skillfully judged your faulty thinking, replaced what you were evaluating as a consideration to do, and placed you in your destiny. See, we walk out of our destiny and we walk out of our purpose because we don't think right. We shrink back, we cower, we walk in fear, we get angry, we get full of regret, we just feel like defeated, like we're not worthy, all these feelings, because we receive it, it takes us out of the pathway to our destiny. That's why it's so vital that you sign up for this Wednesday night coming up in September. Folks, don't you miss Wednesday nights. You say, well, it's not on my schedule. Put it on it. You say, well, why? Because you're radical. You're radical. We have a September to remember. Pastor Troy's going to blow it up on September 4th. Right here in this room. He's got a word for you that's been in his belly for an entire month. You don't miss that. And then following that, we're going to have Pastor Alvin Lindsay from Faith Christian Ministries. He's going to be here. After that, Pastor J.C. Church. After that, all the classes. My wife and I will be teaching, team teaching. We haven't team taught in 34 years. You ought to come just to watch what happens. Choice is the principal factor of destiny. Choice is the principal factor of destiny. Choice is the principal factor of destiny. God has destined you for greatness. God has destined you to be an entrepreneur. God has destined you to be an awesome husband. God has destined you to be educated. God has destined you that you would love your family and honor those in your life. God has destined you for all these things, but your dumb choices. Your choices. Because you didn't allow the Word to skillfully judge them before you initiated them. I can't do that anymore. And neither can you. I'm going to close with this. Did I say that yet? Okay, first closing. A great preacher was invited into a college that acknowledged and encouraged the worship of Wicca or witchcraft on their campus. When he got the invitation, he thought, well, this is weird. Why would they want me? I'm a gospel preacher. So he decided to go because he knew that he needed to shine the light. You're not afraid of darkness. So he got into the lecture hall, which were hundreds of students, began to teach, and suddenly a young girl began to manifest a demon, screaming, I know who you are. Just like in Hollywood. It was weird. The preacher went, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over you. Get out of her now. Immediately, she was delivered. She came back to a normal state, laughing, interacting with everybody. The whole class is like, whoa, dude, did you just see what happened? All of a sudden, the anointing of God fell on that preacher. He began looking at people, said, ma'am, you in the blue dress, stand up. Guy in the green t-shirt. Guy in the blue shirt right here in the end. Here's what God's saying. Started reading their mail. Boom, and this is what the Holy Ghost said. Boom, this is what God said. Boom, this is what God said. Before you know it, the entire class was getting saved. Before you know it, there was a move of God on the campus. See, ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to go forward in the kingdom of God, it's not going to be because we build some big church and everybody comes because it's all made out of glass. Come on. We got the most kicking this and kicking that. No. I'm going to tell you what we've got. Silver and gold have I none, but what I do have. In other words, I understand I'm a radical faith believing a believer. And I'll walk in the power of God. I'm going to tell you right now. And if you're a St. Bernard thinking you're going to come up in here and sit on me with all your weight, you've got another thing coming because I'm the alpha dog right here. So you got to get an attitude that you are the alpha dog and that you're in charge. And that's what's going to reach this generation for Christ. It's not going to be these little mealy-mouth retreats where we love everybody. Come on, ladies and gentlemen. I'm looking for a few radical faith people. I don't even want to call you Christians anymore. Because Christianity, I don't even know if I want to be a Christian anymore. Some of you are going like, what? What? Not the way the world defines it. I'm like the old preacher who's in hot pursuit of the rabbit. I saw the rabbit. I was here chasing the rabbit before most of you got here. Drop off because the route gets a little tough and I'll still be chasing it. If there ain't nobody going with me, I'm still over heel, over Dale, over heel, over Dale. Why? Because once you see Jesus, you can't turn around. You can't turn back. You can't give up. Don't you know this is more than just church? This is the kingdom of God, man. Woo! All right, I better quit right there because I'm starting to get my preach on and then we'll be here until the baptismal service. Okay. We need some help. Every Tuesday we clean this building and we need more helpers. There's a clipboard being passed around or is around somewhere. Sign up, put your details on it, go, I'll help. You say, well, I don't know how to clean. You can't get out of that one. I know you clean sometime, somewhere. But we need some help. And also, let me share this with you before I close. This ministry is moving forward in raising up ministers of the gospel, empowering people for the gospel, causing them to walk in powerful things. And you say, you know, Pastor, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of the ministry, and I'm looking for that. I'm looking for your email, and I can't find the email. Here it is. And here's what we need. We need a minister who will go in the power of God and make visits to people with the authority of the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. who will walk into a home and say, look, I didn't come here just to eat a cookie with you. I came here to help you get free or to get depression off of you. Or I came here to tell you the love of God is greater than the rejection that you're feeling or whatever it is. But we need a minister of visitation. So maybe God's called you to do that, but you need to respond to that right away. What else? You say, Pastor, I need an assimilation. Here, this guy's name is Peter. I don't even know your last name. Well, what is it? You don't want anybody else to know? Peter Nathans was in this church this Sunday. Went over the internet. Everybody knows you're here now, man. What do you think? All right. Peter Nathans. Nathan's son. Peter Nathan's son. He's a CPA. Anybody else a CPA in this room? Anybody an accountant? Anybody count money? Anybody do anything with cash? All right. A simulation minister is to take Peter and introduce him to somebody that he would relate to and help him make a connection. I told him I'm going to help him find a wife. I said, so Peter, what do you want to do? He said, I like to be married. I said, come to church. I'll find you a wife. I said, did I tell you that? I did. And she's here. Water baptism minister. Water baptism minister. That's self-explanatory. Wedding minister. To minister to families who are doing weddings and to take care of all the logistics and handle that and even do some of the weddings. I'll train you to do that. And then benevolence. People that need help, rent, food, clothing, and you'll take care of it. You'll be the charge of that ministry. There are 5 open positions right now. We ought to have about 25 applicants after the service. So here's what I want you to see. Trina and Mike, would you please stand? Trina and Mike's going to stand. And you're going to see them after church in one of those areas. You feel led of the Lord. You feel called of God to fulfill one of those things and say, you know what? It's time for me to become radical in God. I'm not going to just sit back and just let things happen. I'm going to make things happen. Amen? Amen. Also, if you're young, single, woman, love Jesus with all your heart, filled with the Holy Ghost, and you want to be married, see Peter after service. I did not just say that. He's a good-looking guy, man. Muscular. He wants children. So don't be talking to him if you don't want no kids. He probably will never come back to this church again. How many are here today and say, Pastor, you know what? I'm tired of being mealy-mouthed. I'm tired of being just a little toast milk guy. I want to be a radical Christian. I'm ready to sell out for Jesus. Let me see your hand. Come on. It ought to be every hand. Ought to be every hand, right? Come on. Ought to be every hand. You say, well, Pastor, I'm here today. I don't know if I were to die, I'd go to heaven or hell. Could you pray for me? Absolutely. We're going to pray for you. Because Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. He's not a prophet. He's not the brother of Satan. All right? He's not one of the creation. He is the creator of all things. He upholds all things by the word of his power. Some of you are here from Jehovah Witness background and got so confused, but you know it wasn't right because that's too crazy to be right. Some of you coming out of Mormonism like Joseph Smith. Yeah, right. Jesus showed up to Joseph Smith and said, now you're the prophet, take over. Tag, you're it. Are you serious? You actually believe that? I mean, that's amazing. And people actually believe that you're going to turn into a God. You're going to turn into a God. You're going to have a planet of your own. Sounds like if you'll just die as a radical Islam guy, you can have 26 virgins waiting for you on the other side. You really believe that? You're here today, you say, you know what? I'm tired of all the false faith. I want Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm going to make business with God. I'm going to do things right. I'm going to pursue Him with all my heart. I want God in my life. If that's you today, I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. And I'm believing God has a future and a destiny for your life. Make the right decision. Go for God. Amen? Come on, let's stand up on our feet. I know I kept you all like long, but we're having baptism tonight. Pastor Troy is going to be baptizing. Pastor Tossie, do you want to get in the water? No, he doesn't want to get in the water. I didn't think so. Pastor Tossie will not be baptizing. Pastor Troy will be baptizing. Pastor Adam will be baptizing. Jenna will not be baptizing. Mary will be baptizing. Who else? Pastor Cajun will be there. I can't let you all see me with shorts on. I mean, I'd be like... So don't miss it tonight. If you need directions, they're out there on the foyer. It's going to be a great time. Go to the east end of the beach. For those of you that have walking challenges, don't come down them steps. You can drive all the way to the beach. Just follow the road through the parking lot down the east end of the beach. You'll be right there. We'll be there singing, praising Jesus, loving God, baptizing people, renewing our faith, having a witness. It's going to be an awesome time. Amen? Would you like to praise Him just for 30 seconds? Come on, let's open up our heart. Let's open up our mouth. Let's praise Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Altar ministers are coming along the front of this building, and we just want to pray for you if you have a need. Maybe you're here today and your heart's heavy. Maybe you're here today and you're wanting to recommit your life to Christ. Maybe you want to give your life to Jesus for the first time. Come on, trust in the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge in Him. And He will give you the desires of your heart. Today is your day. Today is your day. Today is the day of salvation. We want to bless you today. I read a scripture verse this week that's just been resonating in my spirit. It said, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And my desire today is that you would fellowship with the Holy Spirit all the days of your life. Let the love of God grow big and let God's grace take you where only God's grace can take you. We love you. Live right, love everybody. Pray hard. We'll see you next time. And if not here, I'll see you over there on the north side. See you tonight, ladies and gentlemen. God bless you.